This is pretty cool. It's a small little box, but it seems like there's a lot of power inside this box.
Welcome to the Question Booth. My name is Dylan Fagan.
And I'm Kathleen Quillian.
And we'd like to thank you for joining us for our first episode.
We are very excited.
We are, and we hope you're going to come along with us each week as we ask people the big questions.
Like what, Dylan?
Like, what's the difference between a human and a machine? Or why are we alive? We're really excited to share people's answers with you. We've gotten some great responses so far. And we're also looking forward to talking to experts each week about the questions we're asking in the booth. This is going to help us get a better understanding of why people might feel or think a certain way. But first, let's talk a little bit more about the booth. How does all of this work?
So, each week I'm here at Pond City Market in Atlanta, Georgia, talking to people in our question booth. And yes, the booth is a real place. And it's a special place. All around the booth, there are shops and restaurants, and this place can get pretty busy, especially on the weekend. It can be a real experience to come into this nice, cozy booth and just have a face-to-face conversation. No phones, no crowds, no distractions. Just two strangers talking about a single question.
I love the booth. It's so unexpected to come across. And I know a lot of people are really surprised when they walk in.
Oh, this is so interesting.
And for our first episode, we're listening to the answers to the question, why are people mean? Everyone had their own take on why. But one interesting thing about the question booth is that each week there seems to be a pattern in people's answers. And for this question, people kept coming back to the idea that social media has really changed how we're mean to each other.
I just don't have the time. I don't have the time in the day. Like, my to-do list is not, like, number 27, write petty comment. Like, what do these people do?
That's Bethelyn Taylor in the question booth talking about meanness on the internet.
Well, it's almost like, you know, for every good, there's a bad. And for every extremely good, there tends to be an extremely bad. And that's kind of where, like, internet bullying, like, just falls into that there. It kind of sucks because it can provide such a false sense of power, which I guess that's also something people can be like addicted to too. And that could be another reason why they're mean.
A lot of it I know on say like Twitter or Instagram is for likes or retweets. People will put other people down and it just doesn't make sense. I think it's stupid.
People build careers now based on the brand that they create in Instagram and Twitter and whatever other social media. There are definitely too many examples of if you take the time out of your day to scroll through the comments on a famous person's like post or something, you can see an insane amount of pettiness and meanness and all of that in there. So that's more of what I would see like on a day-to-day basis.
I wish it could be eliminated. I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon.
I mean, just people every day just try to put out as much positivity in this world as you can. Like, I just think if people thought about it, just trying to do like one positive thing a day, that would actually make a really big difference.
Right, like put your energy into that instead of being mean.
Exactly, because I promise it's so much more fulfilling. Long term, it's so much more fulfilling.
You know, it is really hard to ignore negativity on the internet. It's become second nature for me to open a YouTube video or scroll by a famous person's Instagram post and try so hard not to look at the comments. Perhaps that's not the best way to tackle the problem, but it seems like it can get mean fast.
Yeah, and most people are on a device like a phone or a tablet or a computer all day. It's a necessity to stay in touch with friends and family and a requirement for a lot of jobs. And when a lot of people came into the booth, I mean, they were already Snapchatting and Instagramming it, so it was natural for it to come up.
Well, I have some social media numbers for you.
Ooh, give me the scoop.
Okay, so these figures are from the end of last year, but there are around 2 billion active Facebook users each month, and there are around 500 million monthly Instagram users, and Twitter has 328 million monthly users.
Okay, you've read this to me a lot, and every time I feel the same way. I'm still shocked by the amount of people that are constantly on these platforms. I mean, it's a lot of posts and grams and tweets.
I know, and 2 billion, that's just so hard to fathom. So you may or may not be surprised when I tell you that 25% of teenagers say that they've experienced repeated bullying online or through text, and that 52% of teens say that they've been bullied online at least once.
And there are different terms for social media meanness.
Oh, like what?
So there's impersonation, trolling, which a lot of us know, but there's also stalking and doxing.
After leaving what she considers was an honest review on Facebook, she says the business started posting nasty things about her.
It's like people digging into your personal history to use it against you.
It's a practice called doxing. Doxing is when someone publishes your personal information or pictures online.
Well, police showed up at the address that that the suspect gave them. This was in Kansas. But when they got there, 28-year-old Andrew Finch came to the door. Police say he moved suddenly and an officer fired. Now, Finch had no weapon. Not only was he unarmed, he had nothing to do with the online gaming dispute.
That second clip is from a recent incident that was the result of swatting. It's a tactic that's related to doxing. Swatting is where you use someone's personal info and make a fake 911 call as that person, hoping that law enforcement will show up at that person's house. Sadly, this call ended in the death of the Kansas man.
So far, we've heard that one of the reasons people might be mean is to feel a sense of power and control. After the break, we'll look into laziness. Yes, laziness, as a possible explanation for meanness.
We'll be right back. And we're back. And let's jump right back into the question booth to hear what Jonathan, Juliet, and Colin have to say about meanness.
See, my theory on most of this is that there's way less meanness than you think and a million times more laziness than you think. No, hear me out. So most things about being mean are like staying closed off and not considering other perspectives.
Yeah.
And a lot of the times that's met with the idea that, oh, well, so-and-so is just mean. They don't care about this. When really, so-and-so is just lazy and like, it's a lot of work to consider other points of view.
With how we're all connected and we can communicate nowadays, like I've been able to get other people's perspectives on so many other things, which is like open my world to see how other people think.
And I'm convinced that's because it's easier to find perspectives online.
But those perspectives are often formed from headlines or 140-character sentiments on the internet. They're often not pulled from the actual article or research.
I think people tend to like maybe lose their remembrance of what critical thinking is before just taking something as fact.
So what you're saying is people are taking the easy way out and being lazy about it?
Yeah, exactly. It all comes full
John's
circle.
John's thought about this before.
And that's something that I really struggle with a lot, because a part of me really wants to think that, you know, people can change, and people do change. And sometimes people have like this eureka moment or something that happens to them, and then their values change. But then, I look at these people who were mean to me, elementary, middle, and high school, and I see them on Facebook. I see them post things, having the same thoughts on things that they did years ago, and being like, they really haven't changed. They still go back home, they have the high school reunions, they go to the same events every year with the same people, they're in that same little bubble. And maybe that's because I'm just, you know, maybe salty that I was bullied in you know, those ages.
But you're allowed to be salty.
I'm allowed to be salty. Yeah. But at the same time, it's like, I wonder when they're going to have that moment where they realize maybe those false thoughts they have about people different from them or something like that.
And if they don't realize that and they have a kid, there's a good chance that they could model their behavior after how their parents acted, kind of continuing the cycle of meanness.
Go away, loser. Why are you wasting your life? These postings may sound like another case of teen cyberbullying, but they're actually the rantings of grown women, moms attacking other moms, and it's rampant online. Mean girls all grown up.
Don't be mean, kids.
Don't be mean.
Yeah, if you're listening, just
kids.
Don't. Yeah,
don't
kids.
Do,
just
kids.
At kids only. No adults. Just kids.
It's okay to change, kids. Like, it's also okay if you have that moment you're like, wow, I've been a jerk. Like, that's an acceptable thing to think. You don't have to be ashamed of it.
So up to this point, question boothers have talked about power, control, and laziness as reasons for our poor behavior toward one another.
Yes, but leave it to a high school student named Carly to get right to the heart of the situation.
Well, I think people are mean because they're insecure about themselves and because they want to feel better about themselves by putting other people down.
Have you ever come across that in your life?
Yes, I have. There's a few people who used to be in my life who would put me down to build themselves up, and it made me feel so bad about myself. So I distanced myself from them and became a better person.
Is that your go-to when you come across people who are mean or meanness, is to distance yourself from it?
Well, I try to surround myself with positivity and like people who are different from me and make me feel like I am like a unique person. Whenever I experience like someone being negative or mean, I don't associate myself with them because it's not worth it to feel bad about myself.
Over the past couple interviews, people have walked in and they've talked about how meanness has changed, especially in form of like social media, because today it seems like it's like the go-to way to be mean without any repercussions. Have you come across any personal forms of meanness on social media that you've seen? Or
yeah, well, I have different beliefs than a lot of people at my school. I go to a Catholic school and I'm not Catholic, and I am very open about my beliefs and like what I believe in. There's few people who do believe that, and then there's a lot of people who are very opposing to what we believe in and try to make us feel bad. And I mean, I just don't let it bother me. When I get out of high school, there's so many people in the real world who accept other people's beliefs as they are. I mean, I used to try to fit in that box and like be the person that everyone thought that I should be. And I was mean and I was not nice and I wasn't myself. And I feel like if you realize who you are as an individual, then you learn to accept people and you're more open and you realize that meanness is actually really hurtful and like harmful to other people. And the more confident you are in yourself, the more confident you are in like other people, and you don't have to rely on meanness to feel good about yourself.
That was Carly in the question booth.
After the break, we'll hear how meanness creeps into the professional world. And we're back.
So I'm Asian, obviously.
That's Sandra with her partner Gil in the question booth, and they're talking about their ice cream shop.
The meanest review I got was when a fellow 20-year-old Asian girl left a review and said that I was super racist to her and I didn't offer her any ice cream samples, but I had offered the people standing in line before her samples, and it made her experience horrendous because I was just so racist. And it goes on. It was like three paragraphs long about
how—
you're
going to talk about this one.
That I was really racist. I was like, we're the same race. I didn't know this was possible. Oh, so that's a pretty mean one. That ruined my day for a couple of days.
That's a bad one.
Yeah. And that's what the thing is. I feel like people don't even realize that they're, you know, they're, oh, this is just a business. Like, they don't realize that, like, there's people that are passionate. They pour their souls into this business, and they're just so willing to like be super mean online or on Yelp or Google reviews or whatever. And it just affects us so much. Like that happened to Sandra maybe 2 years ago, and she still talks about it. Like, we probably talk about it like every other month.
Wow. So I don't think about Yelp every day, but it turns out that it's a pretty big platform. Some people are pretty devoted to it as well. There's even a program called Yelp Elite for influential reviewers where you get to go to special events. And here's some numbers. They average 188 million visitors a month, and their user base is 18 to 54, which seems like a pretty large demographic.
It's a huge demographic. And I was very surprised about the rating distribution on Yelp.
Oh yeah, what's it like?
Okay, so one-star reviews are super memorable and usually distract me from all the five- and four-star reviews. That being said, 47% of Yelp reviews are five-star reviews, and only 15% of reviews are given that dreaded single star.
Only 15%? It seems like there are so many more. And it might feel that way because the negative comments always seem to stand out, no matter where we see them on the internet. We wanted to know more, so we talked to someone in this very office. We brought in writer and producer Lauren Vogelbaum. You may know her from her work on Food Stuff and Brain Stuff, as well as our online videos.
Hi, I'm Lauren, and this is Brain Stuff. She used to manage the comment section of our YouTube page, and it's a space that can get pretty negative, with comments like this, for example.
Ooh, okay. I hate the girl in the green shirt. Her arms are crap, and so is her face.
Ooh, that's harsh.
Absolutely.
We wanted to talk to Lauren about what it was like to read comments like this and learn more about her experiences. So Lauren, we're very happy to have you join us in the booth.
Oh, yeah. I'm happy to share my PTSD with you.
So how did you end up moderating the comment section?
I had the combination of the most time and the best emotional capacity to answer and respond to the comments on YouTube of the Brain Stuff videos that we were posting at the time.
Keep in mind that under the How Stuff Works banner, we have a ton of different kinds of podcasts and video series.
At some point, the How Stuff Works channel had published a whole lot of Stuff They Don't Want You to Know videos, and that's one of our brands that is based around conspiracy theories.
The most popular conspiracy is well known, that the 1969 NASA moon landing was somehow faked.
And so when we started posting these videos that were about more general science and maybe about like ladies or something at some point, we definitely got some very colorful commentary from people. Added to that, just YouTube in general, the relative anonymity of it, and there's just different cultural mores on YouTube than there are anywhere else, I think. It's not always the most friendly of places. There's also this, rather than other communities that respond to media where you feel like you're really talking to the creator, I think that a lot of people, especially from large brands like ours on How Stuff Works, the commenters don't have a concept that any real human person is ever going to read their comment. And so it's sort of partially like a review, probably partially of the physical appearance of the host and any other qualities that they find remarkable.
So as someone who was checking out the YouTube comments, how much time did that take up and what did it really entail?
Oh, kind of, especially at first, sort of as much time as I had to pour into it because there was such a backlog because there hadn't, you know, we would go through periods where no one had responded to these in or gone through and weeded out the nasty ones in months. And so it could take a lot, but I tried to limit myself to maybe like an hour or so per day. I was like, okay, here's the part where I want some anger to fuel the rest of my afternoon. So I'm going to go and I'm going to read some YouTube comments and I'm going to post really passive-aggressive smiley faces at people. And the rest of my day is going to be just dandy.
Was there like a requirement in how you were supposed to respond to people? Like, were you only allowed two smiley faces per response?
Oh, we all made it up as we went along. But no, we didn't really have best standards and practices other than to be polite, be understanding, and, you know, like maybe don't feed the troll and post links to further research to back up our stuff whenever possible. The don't feed the troll part was always the hardest part of that to adhere to because it's so tempting when someone says something just mean, it's like, oh, I want to respond or I want to take them down a notch.
So did you ever respond to anyone and they responded back to you? I'm not sure exactly how the YouTube comment system works.
Oh yeah. There were definitely whole threads between me and various other human people. And the most remarkable thing that I found between that and I also at one point way back in the past was the social media manager for How Stuff Works in general. And so with those two things combined, if I called someone out basically every time, with like maybe two exceptions over the past 5 years, every time someone said, this is wrong and you're dumb and I don't like your face, if I would come back and say like, hey, here's the reason why we posted this and why we thought it was interesting. And, you know, thanks for giving us a chance. 9 times out of 10, they would be like, oh, I didn't know that anyone was really reading this. I'm sorry. I was having a bad day, man. And like, and you know, thank you so much for posting.
Huh.
Which is so unexpected and delightful and really gives you hope for humanity. On the other hand, the 1 out of 10 times would wind up with someone doubling down on it. That was the response. Like either people would back off tremendously or completely double down. I don't remember what the topic was about, but someone was like, you're wrong and you should feel wrong about it. And I was like, actually, I'm right. And this is why. And they were like, well, I don't think so. And I expect an apology.
Yeah, they just, a lot of people really want apologies. I think it's because people haven't apologized to them for something else in their lives and they just need it from someone else.
Like that right there, I think, is the keystone of why people are so awful to each other on the internet. When I was really in the weeds, sometimes I would post the copy to like my Facebook page of like the comment that was really getting my goat that day. And people would go like, I can't believe that you look at this every day. Like, how do you live with it? Doesn't it burn inside of you? It's so awful. And I would say, they're not talking about me or my coworkers. They're talking about this holodeck version of us that went into a studio for 30 minutes 2 months ago, recorded a video. And that's not me. That's not them. It has nothing to do with us. And it has everything to do with the people who are posting those comments.
Do you think it desensitized you to any meanness?
I still get that like flush of anger, that fight or flight kind of response where I get so mad and my whole body is filled with it. But I really do try to remember, yeah, that everyone has bad days and everyone is going through stuff. And so they probably deserve compassion.
Do you have any comments that just stuck with you for like the rest of your life? Like, do you have any that just haunt you? I know you're pretty good about letting them go, but I don't know if there was any that just stuck with you.
I collected my very favorite comments as part of this like kind of personal self-therapy to get me through this in this gigantic Word document. I would just copy and paste them in. And I've performed them at open mic nights as like found poetry. I have a whole bunch for you if you guys want to just
Okay, I'm just going to jump in here and say that some of these comments use strong or vivid language, but we did want to share a handful of them with you. Just a heads up.
We're ready.
Okay. This guy has the sex appeal of an aviation disaster. I want to slap her ugly donkey face. The video is good, but she's so disturbing, I'll stop watching any future video like such. It's a cool video, but the guy presenting it has all the charisma of a toad. This video has so much filler and barely any useful info. Also, the woman is ugly, not subbing. He is so annoying, I became a white girl so I can't even. I hope he reads this and kills himself. This presenter's haircut distracts from her eloquence and intelligence. Why is this woman so annoying and dresses like her grandmother? Hey dude, sorry to let you know that you're gonna regret wearing this shirt for the rest of your life. And speaking of regrets, lose that belly ASAP. She is saying bad things about figs, which is a clean, nature-given fruit. She thinks figs have wasps, which the figs do not have wasps in them. She should check herself first as to how much wasp-like and bug-like bacteria she has in her downside. She has no right to say bad things about nature.
Pathetic.
Man.
I would sometimes respond to people who criticized my performance, even in strong words. I would be like, yeah, you know, I'm still working on it. Thanks for watching.
In the end, was there anything that you were able to take away from it positively, like in other parts of your job?
Oh, definitely. You know, especially when we would post videos about various health issues, and we had young women writing in about their experiences with IUDs. We had people writing in about mental illness, all of these things that it was so ridiculously rewarding to be able to talk to them and provide more information and help a human in some way. Again, kind of the reverse of some commenters looking at us like we're just this faceless robot. It's really easy to put commenters on the other side of things into a bucket where they're just faceless when they're absolutely human people behind every single screen name, or you know, some screen names anyway. There's a bunch of bots out there. But between that and just learning more about human compassion, it's kind of trying to reach a sort of headspace where you realize that and, you know, treat everyone in your life a little bit better because of it.
So, we heard from a lot of different people this week about meanness, but what's your takeaway overall?
You know,
I think a lot of people walked away from the booth realizing that there is hope. And maybe there are ways we can overcome it. Maybe we can be like Lauren and try to open dialogue with strangers in the comment section. Or follow a cue from Carly and take steps to cut the negativity out of our lives. It also seems like most people were able to come to terms with their experiences, and in some cases, even find happiness. In fact, Gil gave us a recommendation on how to lead a happier life.
I just feel like if everybody took the time to step away, even for 5 minutes every single day, and just enjoy an ice cream, it doesn't really matter what it is. It could just make the world such a better place. Like, people get so caught up, and just taking like 5 minutes to like step away and do something for yourself, that would make the world such a better place. And I think it would make it even better if they all had ice cream.
I don't think I could have said it better than Gil.
And if you weren't able to make it into the booth this week, we'd still love to know your thoughts on meanness. Why do you think people are mean? What do you think we can do to be nicer in person and online? You can email us at thequestionbooth@howstuffworks.com.
And if you're in Atlanta, make sure to stop by the Question Booth so we can have a chat. We're on the second floor of Pont City Market from 12 to 5 every Friday through Sunday.
We'd like to give a special thanks to executive producer Julie Douglas and senior producer Annie Reese. Thanks as well to Lauren Vogelbaum for speaking to us this week and to Pont City Market for hosting The Question Booth. The Question Booth is written, edited, and scored by me, Dylan Fagan, and my co-host, Kathleen Quillian. Thank you, Kathleen.
Thanks, Dylan. And thanks to all the strangers who walk into a random booth, talk about a random question, and have a chat with me.
It's a great experience, we promise.
It's my favorite experience.
So what are we talking about next week?
Next week, we're talking about what one childhood memory shaped your idea of the world.
So, like, every night he would say that, you know, putting me to bed, knowing that I could count on him no matter what and that he loved me no matter what. And you have that sense of stability and strength and foundation. And so I think my parents, the goal was always that they wanted to give us roots so we could fly.
I look forward to hearing all about that. But until then,
see you in the Question Booth.